DJ. Download all the computers. I think we've got everything up to this afternoon, but download everything just to be safe. Yes, of course. Rodriguez leaned over Jamie's shoulder. We'd better tell Tarawa we're going to need a backup nuke. We'll fill the dome with nitrogen, Craig said. No sense risking a fire while we're away. Wait on that, said Jamie. Can't we run the dome on electricity from the LAV? Yeah, maybe. Use her fuel cells. But it'll take a couple of days to connect her up to the fuel generator and bury the piping. Dezhurova pointed out, we should have built a solar energy farm when we first landed, like they have at Moonbase. Jamie grimaced. Should have. That's on the schedule for the third expedition, isn't it? Craig asked. Right, but it isn't going to do us any good now, Jamie admitted. Okay, download the computers, purge the oxygen out of the dome, and drive over here. We'll figure out how...
What about the garden? Trudy blurted.
Dezhurova frowned. Craig waved a helpless hand in the air. Your plants are going to have to take care of themselves for a while, Trudy. Until we go back and rig the LAV power system to run the dome, Rodriguez said. Hall seemed close to tears.
What a pity, she murmured. What a bloody awful pity.
Dinner was a somber affair. Jamie could feel the suspicion and fear hanging over the galley table, thick enough to smother conversation. One of us is crazy, he kept thinking. Much as he tried to shut out the thought, the words kept forming in his mind. One of us deliberately sabotaged the nuclear generator back at Dome 1. He looked into the faces of each one around the table as they glumly picked at their meals. BJ, Dex, Rodriguez, Trudy, Fuchida. The trouble was he could not picture any of them as a lunatic, a madman deliberately destroying their equipment, a potential killer. There it was, he realized. Killer. Murderer. Trying to destroy the garden dome, damaging equipment, wiping out the nuke. Those could all result in people dying here. We have a would-be murderer among us. Even though no one ate much, each of them seemed reluctant to be the first one to leave the galley table. They lingered, their conversation desultory, their faces clearly showing their anxiety and the distrust that could destroy this expedition as surely as any murder. All right, Jamie said, loudly enough to startle them all. All right, he repeated more softly. One of us knocked out the nuke at Dome 1. Anyone feel like admitting it? They all gaped at him, then slowly turned their heads to look at their companions. Jamie hadn't expected a volunteer. Whoever it is, it seems pretty certain that he or she is sick, mentally or emotionally ill.
It's happened before, Vijay said from her seat across the table from Jamie.
What do you mean?
On polar expeditions, she explained, on nuclear submarines that stayed submerged for months at a time. Someone goes berserk, or worse, quietly and stealthily cracks up.
What happens? Dex asked. He was sitting beside Jamie, with Fuchida on his other side. Vijay answered,
most often the individual starts by hurting himself, self-inflicted wounds. Then it escalates into damaging equipment, wrecking things. If it's not stopped in time, it can lead to violence, even murder.
You're the doctor, Vijay, said Jamie. Has anyone come to you with an injury that could have been self-inflicted? She thought about it for a moment, then shook her head.
Just the usual cuts and scrapes.
Oh, there was Tommy's burnt hand, but I doubt that that was self-inflicted. It sure wasn't, Rodriguez said with some heat. Jamie said, without naming names, is there anything in anyone's psych profile that would throw suspicion on him or her?
No, I can't think of anything. Of course, we're all daft just to be here, but outside of that, nothing.
What about your psychological profile?
Trudy asked, forcing a smile to show she wasn't being nasty.
I'm as dotty as any of you, Vijay smiled back. But that doesn't mean a thing, does it?
Who has access to acid strong enough to burn through the nuke's shielding? Rodriguez asked.
Any one of us, Dex replied.
For the first time, Fuchida spoke up.
I have detailed photographs of the punctures made in the garden dome during the storm. I could measure the height above the floor of the dome, and compare that to the height and arm lengths of each of us.
That sounds pretty shaky to me, Jamie said. Fuchida nodded unhappily.
Yes, it would be quite inconclusive. I'm grasping at straws.
What we need is Sherlock Holmes, Dex quipped, or at least Hercule Poirot.
Miss Marple, Trudy Hall said.
Ellery Queen. Hell, said Rodriguez. I'd even settle for Inspector Clouseau. Everyone broke into laughter. At least the tensions snapped, Jamie thought. A little, anyway. He made a quieting motion with both hands and said, All right, we don't have a detective and we don't have a confession. So here's what we're going to do. They all turned to him expectantly. From here on, nobody goes anywhere alone. We work in teams of at least two. If we can't figure out who's sabotaging us, at least we can stop whoever it is from doing more damage.
I'll go with Trudy, Rodriguez immediately called out. I won't let her out of my sight.
He grinned wolfishly. Jamie hiked his eyebrows, but continued. That means we keep two people at the comm console all night long. One to man the console itself, and the other to watch the dome and make sure nobody's sneaking around when he or she is supposed to be sleeping.
I'll team with Vijay, Dex volunteered. We can handle the comm center.
Jamie looked at Vijay and saw that she was staring right back at him.
No, Dex. If you don't mind, I'd prefer that you teamed with Mitsuo. The two of you can take the first shift, then Vijay and I will relieve you at two.
Dex hesitated just a fraction of a second, then grinned and shrugged.
Okay, fine.
Vijay continued to look directly at Jamie.
Diary entry. Nothing I do turns out right. It took more than a week for the nuclear generator to fail. Now, instead of leaving, they're all coming over here. I'll have to do something even worse. Something that will force them to go home, to leave this godforsaken place and go back to where we belong. But what can I do? Perhaps fire. Fire purifies everything. Fire drives out evil. After all, they used fire to drive the evil spirits out of witches, didn't they? Fire is what I need to use now.
Tarawa, Sol 372. In the old days, Pete Connors was saying, every piece of equipment was made to order. Every vehicle, every sensor, every nut and bolt was built specially for the project. That's why space exploration costs so much. The mission controller was strolling along the beach with two reporters, giving them a background briefing for the upcoming launch. To their right, the surf boomed against the atoll's reef, and beyond that, the blue Pacific stretched as far as the eye could see beneath a balmy sky dotted with puffs of white clouds. To their left, the squat, conical shape of a clipper ship rocket sat on the launch pad, embraced by a steel spiderwork of scaffolding, swarming with busy technicians.
It's still not cheap, said the woman reporter, raising her voice to be heard over the brisk wind and distant surf.
The wind and humidity had tousled her auburn hair. She wore slacks and a long-sleeved blouse despite the warm sun. Connors gave her a toothy grin.
No, it's not, but it's a lot better than it used to be.
Orders of magnitude cheaper now. The male reporter, young but already paunchy and balding, had a serious frown on his face.
Yeah, but no matter how you put it, the replenishment mission isn't launching as scheduled.
When will you launch? Without missing a beat, Connors said, We're looking at next Monday now. Might be a nighttime launch, we don't know for certain yet. But the launch window, we've got a fair amount of flexibility there. With the additional specific impulse that nuclear propulsion gives us, we can widen the launch window considerably.
The woman asked them to stop for a moment. She took off her shoes, shook sand out of them, and stashed them in her copious shoulder bag.
The male reporter asked, Is a week long enough for you to stock the spacecraft with everything you need?
You mean the backup power generator?
Connors nodded vigorously.
That's where our logistics policy pays off. We've kept backup items in inventory since the original launch back more than a year ago.
The backup nuke is on its way here from the States, and we've ordered a replacement for it just to keep our spares inventory full.
Do you expect another failure of the nuclear generator? The woman asked.
Connor smiled his widest.
No, but then we didn't expect the one that did fail to bug out on us.